There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast. On the left.
Right from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Sometimes your arms spin back.
Sometimes your arms spin back.
Ah, Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks talk. All right. Are we going? All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. That is Marcus Parks. I am Ben Kissel. I have no idea who the guy to my left is today. He's backward speaking, little person, weird headed guy from Twin Peaks. I love your wonderful red velvet suit. Where'd you get your suit?
And you just turned slowly into my impression of Swedish people.
Oh, perfect.
That's what it is. That's what Swedish is. That's how we'll know it is.
Reverse little people speaking?
You flip the words and then you're going to know what these people are saying.
Okay. Yes.
So Bjorg is...
Gjborb. Gjborb.
My theory's going to need more work.
It's possible.
I am going to say it's bleary-eyed 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm waking up.
I want to give a shout-out to 1990s television Twin Peaks. I'm on Season 2, Episode 10. These guys assure me that it only gets better from here.
Literally,
and I'm fully engorged watching this program.
I've tried to watch Breaking Bad.
Sure.
I've tried to watch Mad Men.
Crystal Meth. Right.
Every single time I sit down to watch one of these shows...
Where's the devil?
I just end up watching Twin Peaks again. I've seen Twin Peaks all the way through about 6 times.
It's the best.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks is absolutely phenomenal.
Kyle MacLachlan is handsome.
He is a dreamboat.
Sherilyn Fenn, I want to suck on her calves until she's just bones down there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, really give her the piranha treatment.
God, she's a fantastic.
Nibble on them bones.
Yum, 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 yum.
Speaking of piranhas, that brings us to the oceans. Today we're discussing
Do we have the cue?
Yes. Marcus, cue it up. Today we're going to be discussing everybody's favorite vacation spot. You're stressed out of work. You've had a long, hard week. Boss
is
yelling at
you. Sometimes you just want to get away for a little while.
That's right. Oh, I think I see Bermuda over there in the right beyond the clouds.
Wait a second. What's that green phosphorescent cloud around?
Oh, I've just been sucked into the Bermuda Triangle. That's right, everybody. Today we're discussing the myth, the life, the legend of the Bermuda Triangle.
Is Kokomo a place?
I don't think so.
I think it is.
Kokomo was just like the name of a fancy drink.
Yeah.
I have a Kokomo on the rocks, please. I'm here with my family and I've got to learn how to smile.
The name of Brian Wilson's brain demon.
Oh, is that right?
Kokomo says we got to put together one more vocal arrangement or I can't go to sleep tonight.
More waves. More waves. Henry Zebrowski and Marcus Parks, as usual, have done some crack research on the subject of the Bermuda Triangle. So let's start it off with missing persons.
It starts off in the world of mysterious disappearances. Now, we did a whole episode before this on mysterious disappearances, all
right,
about like the freaky deaky shit that's going on inside of our national forests,
right,
situations.
Yeah.
And we found out that, the underlying cause of that is the fact that there are MK Ultra training facilities in these places, and these kids are just, you know, guinea pigs for our fucking government.
Sure.
NSA.
That's right.
CIA.
You
FBI.
Listening? You there?
9/11. Was it an inside job? Well, was it an outside job?
It was sort of an outside job to some
degree.
There
was contractors involved.
It was an outside and inside job.
But there was something else. Somebody in the office was talking about it.
Sure.
A hybrid job.
A hybrid
double job.
Inside. Just follow me here.
It was a big job.
It was a large job.
So I was listening to Coast to Coast AM. As you can imagine, as I do, I'm sitting on my leather couch. I'm wearing an Armani suit, drinking a flute of champagne. Right?
Oh, okay. And of course, Armani suit, you mean your skin with no underwear?
I'm just trying to paint a different picture. I feel like people have this sort of idea that I'm some kind of slothful person.
No,
I'm not.
As evidence from the pictures that you've posted, being a slothful person?
Robert Stanley was a guest on Coast to Coast
Robert.
AM, and he came.
Now, who is Robert Stanley?
Robert Stanley is another let's call him an amateur investigator who's okay. now made a living being a UFOologist. I try to get some information on the man himself, but he's actually very difficult to pin down because I don't think he has a past.
Oh, all right.
You know,
one
he's like
guys.
One of those guys where it's yeah. just like he just made up a new name for himself and just started doing UFO stuff.
Right.
So he came out and he started talking about how he has been, well, he runs this really actually awesome website called Unicus Magazine and has done a bunch of stuff for UFO Files, and he's been out there.
Unicus Magazine.
Which is awesome. It's a great collection of articles. Okay. But he started researching this phenomenon going on in Puerto Rico about these bodies going missing from graves. Now, there's a bunch of people mm-hmm. that were saying, well, this is a place of a very strange, you know, they have like the Santeria and all these right. like weird religious practices. There could be something
witchcraft,
involving these.
All those things.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Henry just broke down. Woo. What happened? You were talking so well.
The ghost of Louis Anderson just walked through me.
Louis Anderson's still alive. Come back.
But combo with these missing bodies are going on. There is a escalating number of UFO sightings happening around Puerto Rico okay. and around the tropical islands. Now, number one, you can imagine, the Grays... they need to relax, right? Sure. They spend all day coring out fucking cows' assholes. Mm-hmm. All thing they want to do is they want to sit on the beach, you know, and they want to, you know, they drink a Mai Tai and just enjoy themselves. It's Key West, you know.
That's
you know,
right.
Anything goes. Margaritaville.
Even the Grays have to have some fun, kick back, relax every now and again.
I don't know how the sand interacts with the weird membranes around their non-eyes.
I think they got to lube it up quite often.
Absolutely.
Yeah, lube up the eyes.
So they're going to the islands.
Right.
But what this correlates to is a story that he had. But basically, around the Caribbean are these things called vile vortices, one the most famous being the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay.
And that he was speaking with a friend of his that will go unnamed. Well, he called him Eddie, but he said that he's a formerly like famous coast-to-coast guest, right? Okay. He wouldn't tell George the name. And George was like, now you let me tell me you're not going to give me the name here on the radio.
Wow.
And he was just like, you know, it's like, no, I'm afraid, Georgie, I got this story under very confidence, so you can't.
Secrets. Stanley's got them.
And so Eddie was a test pilot for the, I believe it was the Navy. And he was testing it. Eddie was not a monkey.
He wasn't a monkey.
All the way. It was a weird thing. He was a monkey with human hands and feet.
Oh,
which
I
is
see,
just
sure.
one of the fun things we got from Mangala.
It was also the precursor to MK Ultra.
Right.
They made
a
big jump.
Lots of shit. This is a big episode.
Right. Okay, so Stanley's discussing his friend Eddie, discussing the Bermuda Triangle.
No, well, Eddie was talking about how when he was a test pilot, what he was testing what was brand new at the time, F-14.
Right.
And he said that he was taking it only stress tests, which was like testing to see how far the engine can go, and basically all these dangerous things to do while flying.
So the stress test for the plane.
For the plane, not for him.
Right, because he was stressed
cool
out.
As a cucumber.
Oh, he was cool.
No, these guys are, astronauts are, don't get upset and don't get like.
Never.
That was what they were saying. I was reading a thing about when they were, before the first moon landing, when they went to go test these astronauts, and they were like, did you have no trouble sleeping? He's like, no, just getting on a bucket and going to the moon. And they're like, well, cool. You're the right dude then.
Although there was that one female astronaut who really freaked out, wore her diaper across the country to go murder.
I love that story.
So that's one astronaut who kind of freaked out.
Well, they don't freak out as far as flying goes. As far as life goes, they're not good at it.
Because they're only good at being an astronaut.
Yeah. Right,
and once you're not an astronaut anymore, you don't count in society. Well, let me finish getting through
this. Then
story.
You go on a diaper rage.
So he had done a bunch of tests on this plane already. A couple of civilian scientists that his like black ops bosses didn't introduce him to came in and put these special measuring things on the wings of his plane. They're like, just so you know, you may see stuff out there when you travel through what is now known as the Bermuda Triangle. Mm-hmm. He's like, you're going to see some stuff.
Eddie, you're going to see some grays.
This was in the year. Yeah. Hold on one second.
It's a terrifying thing for your
1975.
Boss.
Okay.
1975. I mean, in 1975, people were seeing things everywhere. Acid was all around.
And so he was flying through, and basically he flew right into a gigantic green fog.
Mm-hmm.
All the devices that were newly hung up to his plane started going apeshit.
Mm-hmm.
As he comes through the outside of the fog, he has lost two engines. His plane is dying. He sees an island out in the middle of the ocean, and he crash lands on it.
Right.
And so he comes out, he gets all his shit out, and out of the forest walks this beautiful Polynesian woman.
Oh, yes. Now she is his.
She is like totally, he's like, it seems like a primitive island. There's like nothing going on. But what he noticed is there were no like bugs and there were no like rats and there was no things like that. It was like really calm, beautiful weather. And she's just like, come with me. I'll show you to your shanty. And he's like, what? Ooh, and she's like, speaks total English. They start banging.
Ah.
Right? He's on this island. He says he was on this island for like 8 months. He's there. He's banging. He's banging this woman. He's got a family back at home.
Well, I mean, when you're on the island, you know, it's fine. He never knew.
And so he's fucking tearing up some bush on the island. He's talking with the tribal leader. His girlfriend on the island gets sacrificed to a volcano god on the island.
I feel like we're talking about Joe versus the volcano
and
the beach.
It's a ludicrous story. And he comes up to him and they're like, well, what they knew is like his radio wasn't working. He couldn't get in contact with anybody. Right. And they're like, after they kill his girlfriend, his island girlfriend, they're like, well, it's time for you to go home now. And he's like, well, what do you mean?
I'm having
what
so
do
much
you
fun.
Mean? I was doing great.
Just give me another one.
That's useless.
You get the feeling he just like put the batteries back in his radio. And he's like, oh, it works now. All right, I'll be leaving.
Well, he said that he took them out on a boat with his radio. They took him out on a boat and went back out through the fog and came out on the other side. They went back on another canoe. And when he looked back, the whole island just went and just disappeared.
And then he
came back to the United States. He radioed. They picked him up. He was debriefed for a year in Pearl Harbor, which is, I've also now heard several people who go missing in these sort of like time shifts or whatever happens. Mm-hmm. They end up at Pearl Harbor Air Force Base and deeply debriefed. And he was there for a long ass time because he's missing a $7 million test plane.
Yeah.
Like one of our top secret planes is just sitting, what he says, on an island and disappeared in the middle of the ocean. And then eventually he revealed to George Noah who he was. He didn't say it was on air. He said it off air. But I was like, this is really amazing. And basically tied into this idea of the Bermuda Triangle. Now, where things get kooky dooky.
Right.
Was there Robert Stanley has another theory altogether. Now, the big thing is that UFOs have seemed to be connected to this type of phenomenon for a long time, of course.
So the first theory is just the original Bermuda Triangle theory that, we just flew through
this is where the UFO angle even comes from.
Okay.
Robert Stanley comes out and he's just like, what goes on the Earth is that we used to be a gigantic crystal. We used to be a decahedron or whatever the fuck that's called, right?
Right.
We used to be a gigantic...
Dodecahedron.
We used to be a giant... Dungeons and Dragons die for you fucking to translate
right
to everyone, right? And then when the edges fell off, it created these, like when we rounded out into a sphere,
a
sphere?
That's
how that's how mathematicians call it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, good.
A deep circle. Oh, that's a circle with some stuff in the middle.
That's a sphere.
That's a sphere.
That's a sphere.
And so,
okay.
They have these points, which was the former intersecting lines, which we've talked about before, ley lines.
Yes.
And there's 12 of these that serve as a sort of wormhole that could possibly be used by alien life to come in and out of dimensions into our dimension.
And Bermuda Triangle is
hotspot.
It's a hotspot.
Well, there are 12 of these around the world. These are called the Vile Vortices. And they are essentially, if you look around the world, they are at certain points all over the globe to make a sort of 12-sided die type thing. And they're all over the world. There's some. There's one at the Algerian megalith to the south of Timbuktu. There's one in the Indus Valley in Pakistan. And
what are they doing? This is my thing. Well, Robert Stanley was also talking about researching other disappearances where it's just like a buddy's walking the forest and he's like, hey, Greg, I'm out get pizza. And he turns around, Greg's gone. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like that's what happens.
They didn't want pizza that night.
But the two most famous Vile Vortices by far is the Devil's Triangle or
don't
the Devil's
there.
Sea in Japan and the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, don't go to the Devil's Sea. It belongs to him.
But I've really got to get there.
Please be respectful.
I've got to go.
We'll get to the Devil's Sea here in a little bit.
Right.
Let's stay over here on our side of the globe first.
Our homegrown spot of the fucking weirdness.
So geographically, the Bermuda Triangle goes from Miami, Florida to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and up to Bermuda.
Keys, and as a place called, I'm giving you background music.
Kokomo.
I thought you wanted me. I was like, okay, I'm gonna let him sing for a little bit.
Yeah, there we go. That's nice.
Yeah, and it goes from the Florida Keys over into Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico, and then up into Bermuda.
I think you're just talking.
I can't do this.
I can't work like this.
It's going to be difficult when Henry actually has a brain aneurysm. And we're like, I don't know if he's having an aneurysm. Or
Henry has the brain aneurysm.
Yeah. No, this keeps you alive, Marcus. That's the bizarre thing.
That is true. This does keep me living and
going. I just
sit
here and watch you get livid at Henry. I mean, I love my life. It's pretty perfect.
Anger is human fuel.
That's right.
That's what my father kept saying.
Well, you're full.
And he hit me over and over and over again.
Not enough. Not enough.
So the Bermuda Triangle has been a strange spot for occurrences for centuries upon centuries. Christopher Columbus himself said in 1492 when he sailed across that he saw strange lights off in the distance. Although,
oh, we better not go on there. I'm a drop of my pizza on there.
Christopher Columbus had pizza now. He had pizza.
He was Italian, right?
Yeah, he was Italian.
It was the Mayflower that he came over on, right?
Yeah.
Christopher Columbus?
Sure.
I don't know.
He was Italian
it was
with
the
Spanish...
The Nero painted the Santa Maria. The Mayflower was the Pilgrims.
Ah, whatever.
He was an Italian with Spanish bosses, which is now the terminal opposite of pizzerias here in New York City.
An Italian with Spanish bosses? Times have changed for the better.
Although we now think that the lights that he saw off in the distance were just natives on islands that he hadn't raped and killed yet.
Oh, but he's getting there.
He's getting around to it.
Yeah. That guy's just circling our island, pointing and laughing at us. He seems like a nice man. bring him over to the island.
And then, of course, later on, as we started keeping more records of what the comings and goings, we started noticing a lot more disappearances. But the disappearances didn't really start getting going until, say, let's see here, when was Flight 19? Flight 19 was possibly, it was the one incident that caught the attention.
Flight 19 is an amazing story.
And the one thing about all of these disappearances, obviously we're going to be discussing and are discussing some different
1945.
Theories.
1945 was Flight 19.
1945, Flight 19. You know, we'll discuss different theories and things. But one thing, these disappearances, these are facts.
These disappearances absolutely happened.
You know, they were in the papers. You know, somebody went missing and mothers and fathers lost their children.
Flight 19 was five separate planes.
Yeah, Flight 19 was five planes, five Avengers that were flying out over the Gulf of Florida, and they were just on a routine training mission.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the captains, this guy Edward Powers, tuned into the radio and he said, "I don't know where we are. We must have got lost after that last turn."
Was Limbaugh.
His last words were, "Cannot see land. We seem to be off course."
Yeah, he says, "Everything looks strange, even the ocean." And another pilot says, "It looks like we're entering white water. We're completely lost." And then there was a final crackling message.
Terrifying.
They're just like a...
It's a Bermuda Triangle!
What's that there?
It's a Bermuda Triangle!
Bermuda.
Write it down to Bermuda Triangle! Don't come here anymore!
Kokomo? Did he say... You know what this reminds...
I'm going to write a song, Betty.
And then after that, there was another ship sent out to search for him, which immediately disappeared. Disappeared without a trace. And after this, they did the largest search of, the largest naval search since World War II.
And they didn't find any wreckage. They didn't find a bit.
Right. They found no wreckage whatsoever.
And they still haven't found any wreckage.
They've found nothing. Although it is, it's... In the ocean that, where the Bermuda Triangle exists, the ocean is so amazingly dangerous, choppy, the waves are so high, that even five airplanes would be sunk within an hour.
I was watching a really interesting experiment because they were talking about, what goes on around the Bermuda Triangle is these crazy crosswinds. The storms pop up there in a second.
Yeah.
And they were showing this thing called pyramid waves, which is when two streams of wind come at each other. They create literally it's like a spike of water shooting up from the ocean that just flips boats.
Sort of like a bidet type situation.
Like a bidet.
Okay, sure.
Yes, absolutely. Giant up there and it just washed all his fucking dookie crumbs.
Now, is that a theory that there's just a large giant with some dingleberries?
No, we should add it to the list, though.
We'll put it on the list.
Yeah, we should definitely...
That's attributed to the last podcast on the left, theory of the Bermuda Triangle, the large giant with the dingleberries hanging from his buttocks.
The one thing they say about the floor of the Bermuda Triangle, what's really interesting is that there are some places where the water's really shallow, and then also is some of the deepest like parts of the ocean.
And this is what causes this sort of bizarre
what happens
wind
with,
shifts.
What they, well, that also causes the bizarre waves, but what happens more often is the theory that there is volcanic gases that are escaping from the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle.
Right.
And also,
literally gigantic fart bubbles.
Yeah, yeah, methane bubbles. They're huge methane bubbles that come under. And these methane bubbles, what they do is they make the boat heavier than the water.
Yeah, they just shoot into the water. Yeah.
I saw an experiment done on this where they took a boat out into the water. They push the bubbles
up. And of course
this
is what's going on because it's right next to fucking Mexico.
sure. And you were going to make a joke about something.
Beans in there.
Beans are in there.
However,
all the runoff from the bean factories.
Yeah.
I will say this about Flight 19, though. Not to disparage the mystery, but the pilot that was in charge of this training mission, this was the fourth time that he had gotten lost.
Oh, he's kind of a Gomer pile.
He's a bit of a Gomer pile. They knew what sort of situation they were getting into.
You need to have a Gomer pile.
They were just
pile.
Pissed off at him at first. Like, fuck, he's lost again.
Of course.
Yeah, why do we keep putting Goofy Sanders up there every important mission
Goofy
we've got?
He's got a terrible sense of direction. You know, maybe we shouldn't have him on a plane or flying a plane. I feel bad for the person who had to go and do the mission following all these, you know, five people have died. Hey, go look for them. Go look right around the area where they all crashed.
Maybe Sergeant Stevenson wants to do it. Do I really got to go? Ain't no reason to send someone like me, you know?
You know what? We're going to need.
You love my soup? You love how I make soup? Right?
Be a patriot. You're going to need to be an American patriot, my friend.
You need me here. You can't have me gone.
Uncle Sam doesn't have enough blood on his hands for the day, so we're just going to throw you on out there.
So now, there are many different theories as to why these boats come in. Now, we already kind of addressed kind of the natural, what would seem to be obvious theories. But then we've also already kind of
Mexican
hit upon
the bean theory.
The Mexican bean theory, which is also very true, right?
Bunch of cows in Middle Earth, something like that.
In Middle Earth?
Yeah, whatever, you know, causing all the methane gas.
Now, let's just say this, right? Let's say all the theories are true, right? So we've got UFOs possibly abducting people, right? That is another theory. That UFOs are abducting people, and they are moving to which also explains this idea of time shifts. Because one thing that was interesting they were talking about with Flight 19 and when the USS Colossus went missing is that these ships experience gigantic swaths of missing time. Like, they'll, like, by the time they figure out somewhere where they are, they have lost, according to their star maps and their positioning and the speed they're traveling, they're losing like 30 minutes at a time.
Yeah. So just small increments of time.
Which very much so explain, that's a part of that gives towards the theory that it was an alien abduction.
I've got another story that corroborates our man's story from earlier. At least, not as far as the island goes, but definitely as far as the fog goes. This was in 1970. A guy from Florida named Brew Gernon Jr.
No, he can't have a flight license, can he? Can he fly a plane?
His Brew like a beer?
No.
My name's Brew. My middle name's Scotch whiskey.
Brew smell like
Scotch
both.
Whiskey Gurner Jr. I fly planes.
You're making up the words. You made up your name.
Well, do you think you pay me?
You know? Actually, why don't you take the plane? Just go crash it right into the ground for us, would you?
Well, him, his father, Brew Gernon Sr.
Oh, wow.
And their brother.
God, I feel better for Mrs. Gernon. She's the one that I really feel for.
Oh, Lord. She's drinking the most.
And
there's no doubt about that.
And their friend, Chuck Lafayette, were flying towards the Bimini Island in the Bahamas and noticed a strange elliptical cloud, which he later called the electric fog. It was hovering about 500 feet above the ocean. Here's an excerpt from a story. Here's what he said.
Yes.
Upon entering the cloud, we witnessed an uncanny spectacle. It became dark and black, without rain, and visibility was about 4 or 5 miles. There were no lightning bolts, only extraordinarily bright white flashes that would illuminate the entire surrounding area.
Interesting.
The deeper we penetrated, the more intense the flashes became. So we made a 135-degree turn to the left and headed due south out of the cloud. The remarkable thing is that we did not come out of the storm 90 miles away from Miami as we should have. We had traveled through 100 miles of space.
We're in Cuba.
And 30 minutes of time and a little more than 3 minutes.
Wow.
Whoa. So, yeah. So again,
so they traveled the equivalent. Yeah, they traveled the equivalent of 30 minutes of travel as far as like distance, and it only took them 3 minutes to do it.
And 3 minutes. And the electric fog is something that actually does happen out there. It's a meteorological phenomenon that's tied into electromagnetism. Mm-hmm. And what it does is that it clings to an airship. And when the pilot is actually in the cockpit, it seems like they're flying through a fog bank. But the thing is that they're not flying through a fog bank. The fog is attached to the plane.
Absolutely, because it's like
with
you. It's a cloud of electrons that get kind of mix up what's going on with your engine. And there's a lot of things. So it's another weird phenomenon that happens in super choppy water, also mixed with like heavy sort of like electrical activity in the sky. Or is it a fucking... Is it like the opening doorway to a time portal?
Is it?
Now, this is vital vortices. I'm going to say it has to be.
Okay, so we have the Henry Zebrowski theory that this is a portal with the vital vortices. So what would be the point of a vital vortices portal?
Well, if you listen to Robert Stanley, what he truly believes is that it may possibly be these wormholes, these places like the Bermuda Triangle and the Devil's Sea are, in fact... sort of like escape hatches that will eventually be used by Pleiadian forces to to help humankind leave Earth when the reptilian shadow government finally enacts NWO, and they will use these as escape hatches. I'm saying it's not as credible as he wants it to be.
Right, but there is some truth to
his
theory.
There's some truth to it is the fact that he said those words.
And when these people, that he did say those words, when they have these sort of time lapses, do they experience any paranormal activity? Do they have any contact with reptiles or aliens or anything like that? Or is it just more like, what happened?
Most people, the actual...
anal bleeding, anything?
The credible witnesses that come forward, they say that they have no real experience of the time passing. It's just this happens and then this happens.
Right. Which is also very similar, but that's similar to abduction scenarios.
Sure,
where people
totally.
Just like wake up and like you always hear that story of someone driving in the car and they look up, they see UFO, mm-hmm. and then it's all of a sudden they're off... the side of the road, and it's 2 hours later, and they don't know why.
Yeah, and the vortex theory, there is some sort of scientific truth to this, in that Einstein postulated that a curvature of space could cause even light to bend through it, and some theorists believe that time, as a force of nature, can also be warped based on your location, and the Bermuda Triangle is one location on Earth where the fabric of time is so thin that travelers can slip through it and emerge on the other side of a completely different time.
So now we have just placed Robert Stanley on the intellectual level of Albert Einstein. Is that, these are indisputable facts.
And you know what? I do have something from a website called mylot.com from a scientist
known as
Living Hell 01.
Oh, he's a scientist.
He's
with
a
the
scientist. That's his gamer tag.
He's about Living Hell Zero. He is 14 years old.
Oh, okay.
And he,
amateur of, ufologist.
Amateur ufologist.
Sure, he sent away for
and
that.
And he postulated a question to which Dare for More answered. Okay. Here's what the question is.
I don't like the kind
Dare
of
for
Dare
More.
For
More. No.
Just him, just his balls hanging out of his fly, and he's called Dare. It's just written Dare for More.
Dare for More. No, I didn't dare for any, actually.
Yeah, you chose Dare. You chose Dare.
No, I haven't chosen anything since I've been here for the month.
I hate this game. I hate
up.
Sleepovers.
Yeah, you're making all the decisions for me. Okay.
Here is the question. As most of the people among you know that the great scientist Einstein discovered the secret of the Bermuda Triangle and solved its mystery, but why didn't he tell it to anybody? Was there anything that human beings should not know about that specific region? Or is every question raising in mind should not be answered?
I love that you're reading this as if the man is wearing clogs.
Or did he not do so for the betterment of mankind? What do you people say about this? And Dare for More responds thusly.
First of all, what do you mean by you people?
I mean, exactly. I feel, what do you mean? You mean people with
like
their shirts off or just like...
Hey, the kid's Pakistani, all right?
Oh,
it's
okay.
Fine.
It's fine.
It's
there
fine.
It
he means infidels.
Well. Sure. Infidels, yeah.
Dare for More says, well, I think there may have been two reasons. Either Einstein didn't find anything...
Einstein. Yeah, this is pretty remarkable.
Or the thing he had discovered should not be known by every man. Mm. For Bermuda Triangle, the main reason, I think, is that there is a very strong gravitation power of Earth which takes in everything.
Yes.
Honey, I got a great name for a bagel store. Einstein's Bagels. Oh, I was so close.
We're over!
We're done. No somewhere, one's going to Einstein Bagels.
Somewhere deep within his garbled English right. is a speck of truth.
He is also from Pakistan. And by the way, he capitalized the thing and the main reason.
Yes, of course. Like Hunter S. Thompson, he would.
Yeah.
In order to do gonzo journalism. It's gonzo journalism.
What's the speck of truth, do you think, in the man's
There is
response?
One theory that may... or may not
sure.
tie it all together.
Okay.
Which is two scientists named Dr. Paul Wanzig and Pauline Zelitsky. They started.
Interested.
They were a scuba diving scientist couple, is God knows the muff hair going on in that relationship.
I think limited muff hair, to be honest with you. I think scuba divers are totally shaved.
I don't know. I don't even know. So they went down there.
They are shaved.
Now, for a long time, there have been Mary theories. Mary
theory. Now, see, you just lost your train of thought,
That's
and
fine.
You just went to an Asian accent.
That's what I do.
We haven't gotten to the Devil's Sea yet.
So
the number one theory that so far is vile vortices.
The vile vortices, but where this could be, there could be an origin story for that part as well.
Yes.
Which is these two scientists found what they believed to be a gigantic translucent pyramid at the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle. Now, there's some people who think that it's a gigantic submerged USO, unidentified submerged object. And if you watch anything about the Devil's Triangle or the Bermuda Triangle, they will say USO over and over and over again in order for you to be convinced that it's a real thing.
Could be a bunch of trash.
But they just say USO, where it's just like, you could even I don't know what is about USO, but it drives me nuts.
Well, it's just the same thing as the shows that we put on for soldiers, and it's confusing. I don't like that. That's USO right. is taken. Find a different name. That's for our boys.
I mean, who are hiding the secrets of USOs from us.
Oh, they don't have any secrets. They're pawns in this massive game of chess.
And so they found this translucent pyramid, which they took several grainy pictures of, which they said they'd lost the rest of the footage. And there was more. There's several theories around this glass pyramid. It could either be a submerged UFO,
an underground Apple store.
You
know, that's possible.
A Trump village.
You never know.
He's loving it down there.
He's loving life.
Hey, I'm living with the crabs. You fired octopus.
That's your Donald.
You can't fire the octopus.
You fired. I got eight hands.
My brain is done for today. And so there's another theory that a guy named
Can you fire
Fraha,
a squid real quick?
What?
Can you fire a squid?
You fight squid.
Squid and an octopus out of work. Wow, that's upsetting. So, sad. Yeah. Sad day in the Bermuda Triangle.
There was a man there's two people that do sort of astral projection work named Fraha and Marlena.
Okay.
Right, these two Germans.
Martina
and Fraha.
And basically, they projected themselves into this glass pyramid, and what they saw
was
two open hands and a gigantic crystal in the middle of it, right? And what they have started to believe, they have that one episode where they talk about there's two machines at the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle, and one is this one. It said that this translucent triangle is what a lot of people believe that pyramids are across the world, are gigantic batteries for free energy. They're Tesla batteries. And that what's going on at the bottom of the Bermuda Triangle is that the flood of Atlantis happened so fast. When the Ice Age was over and Atlantis got flooded, it got submerged and its power stations are still on. They're down, they're in the ground, and they're on, and they're making shit happen. They're making energy shoot up and down.
And this would explain the bidet-like actions.
All
with
these
the water.
Types of things. Yeah. But then what they say is true is what they took pictures of the top of it. They said that it's got this hole built into the top of the pyramid, the very point of the pyramid, and that water rushes through this hole and creates crazy wave effects.
Yeah. Mm.
And that, again, maybe someone put this there in order to protect the true relics of Atlantis. Because that's the other theory, is that Bermuda Triangle is the former ruins of Atlantis.
Right. Yeah, which that is evidenced by the discovery of the Bimini Road, also known as the Bimini Wall.
Straight rocks.
It's straight rocks, yeah. But it looks to be a man-made road that is deep, deep. It is almost a mile, it's half a mile under the water.
Now, this is something I'm really into. I think that this is actually probably true. I do sort of give credence to the idea that there was a advanced race of people before us.
Yeah.
And this is where they lived. Because why not? You're living in Bermuda. Advanced? It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah. And I take it back. It was half a mile from Bimini, but it was only 5 meters in deep in the water.
Right.
So not that deep. But it is. It seems to be a constructed stone pathway that just runs straight into the Bermuda Triangle.
There's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
And there's another theory that right. says that big hole is where a gigantic Atlantean power crystal known as the Tuweo Stone.
Oh, Tuweo.
Okay, now, and they're and just now, making that up.
Well, now we're getting into Edward Casey. Okay.
When he believes that he's from Atlantis, but he learned all that by sleeping on his couch.
Yeah. So
and that eventually Atlantis will rise and California will sink into the ocean.
And California will be their own Atlantis.
Burn Hollywood! Burn to the ground!
So,
but but this is where we've now mentioned about three things that we could do an entire episode on entirely. Like Edgar Casey, we're going to do its own episode. Yeah. The Palladian. I mean, they're giving us help. They're trying to reach out to us.
So those are the theories. So we have the Vital Vortices, the Greys, and the Greys trying to hold the portal off for the Palladians, and Mr. Casey here with his theory of Atlantis.
We're getting a little deep here.
Yeah, it's a little deep,
the Bermuda Triangle.
But I think surprisingly we've been coherent this whole time.
If you do think so, please send us an email.
Yes,
please rate our coherence on the scale of Ben to Henry.
Wow, that's not bad. That's not bad. Very awesome. And
so
we have three theories done. Are there any more prominent theories in the paranormal occult world?
Oh, yes. And there was one more. Also from the alternative theory from our friends Franja and Martina.
I'd like to do
a reading of this story that they had while they were basically. These are two highly sexed German couple.
That's right.
That are using astral projection in order to speak with aliens. Told a very sad story about the Greys.
Yeah.
Okay.
About they did tell a story about how the Greys are actually just very sad, and that sadly they're slaves to the reptilians because a long time ago, essentially the reptilians destroyed their planet without them knowing it, and that
they found out, I'm sure.
No, what happened is the reptilians did the old flipperoo and showed up and be like, "Well, we're the only ones who can help your planet now. So in order for us to save your race, you have to be our slaves." And they're like, "Yeah, the sure thing, Klaxar."
Right, yeah.
Meanwhile, he's just eating his wife's pussy.
I mean, the Greys do sound like a subservient alien race, if that's the way they sound.
Before we get into this, tell me what the mantis race is.
Well, what I've heard now, I've now heard the mantis race about four times, which is another one of the 13 alien races that we speak with on any given basis, and that what they are is they are just actually really hard to get along with, because we literally cannot, as much as we can understand the Greys, the Draconians, the Pleiadians, the Nordics, and the Venusians, we look at the mantis people, and there's something about their aura energy that makes us nervous.
So they're
what Martina says.
Curmudgeons.
No, it's everyone else is talking, and they look at the mantis dude, and he's going like,
terrifying.
Playing with tennis, and you're just like, how do I speak with this guy?
Yeah,
at least learn how to play spades with this gray dude.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's doing. He's just going like, chewing on lettuce.
I mean, that's the
throwing
thing.
Bile up all over a burger. That we got a plate of White Castle sliders because you're trying to be friendly.
Sure.
Your new 12 races of friends here.
Right.
And he's shooting fucking acid all over anything so it could slide into his thorax.
And that's why foreign policy is so hard.
And the reptilians, no one's judging him because they're like, oh, we're all one giant cosmic race. Right.
Get over it, guys.
Put a mask on.
Yeah, do
put
something.
Put a suit on.
Just
grow some tits.
Yeah.
Do something nice for everybody. Sure. Present yourself.
Put a muzzle on that monkey.
By the way, I wanted to say thank you, everyone, for the boob comments when Henry posted the Richard Speck video.
Man, he's
on
got
the
some
last podcast
classic
page.
Tits.
Oh, my
We've never
God.
Had such a sexually charged comment thread
he's
on last podcast.
He's got some Mansfields.
Holy Lord. Yeah, you get a mantis man with those Richard Speck-like titties, and I think that would make him acceptable. Oh, yeah. And as soon as he creeps you out, just
saying
grab
it has
one of
the blue
nipples.
Panties on. Oh,
yes.
That's great to hear.
Yes.
All right, so this is one last theory about the Bermuda Triangle.
Let's get to that.
During a private session, Martina was directly from the start being pulled into space, where a spaceship was placed. During the next 10 minutes, a couple of aliens showed up.
Uh-huh.
Among them, a mantis and a gray. Those beings were friendly, yet we didn't know what their appearance meant. The word caught came into Martina's mind. This doesn't make any sense yet. Slowly, it became clear that the spaceship has been caught in a time-space grid.
Of course.
Martina was moving along the time-space grid until she reached a time-space bending, a sort of chute, which was connected towards the Earth.
Are you getting blown by
She was
Martina's
heading towards
right now?
The center of the chute, relocating herself in Atlantis. Apparently, there had been a machine installed in Atlantis, causing this time-space grid to stop and spaceships from entering the Earth. And we think it was only a set of ships of benevolent aliens.
You're 5 seconds away from just being Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This machine has been stopping positive aliens from helping us since the times of Atlantis. Apparently, it is functioning independently of time. I mean, that it probably doesn't exist anymore, yet it was still working back in Atlantis.
It is a collage of accents.
We're not sure, though. Mm. During the session, the word reflux suddenly came into Martina's mind, too. At the end of the session, the word reflux stop came up. We couldn't figure out what it meant. Then the place of the machine showed up. It was a Bermuda Triangle. This was another aha. Martina saw sea ships passing by. My association, the disappearance of ships in the Bermuda Triangle was a side effect of the space-time anomalies caused by this machine. It was unavoidable. By then, a grey had showed up helping us. Martina was getting close to the machine. It was placed inside a great hall. The walls of the building were covered with gems and other things, and Martina stood in front of a big tube of which some parts had been bowed down. Apparently, this was the core of the machine. Altogether, cooperating our destructiveness, we destroyed the thing successfully. The word checkmate came from somewhere. Someone said it.
So basically, he just claims to have saved the entire world.
Well, he stopped the ships from disappearing because Martina went down and shut off the space-time anomaly machine that was keeping benevolent spaceships from entering Earth and helping us in the Pleiadian. The Pleiadian idea of helping us from the reptilian shadow government.
So Francois and Martinez.
Martina.
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 It's Franja.
Franja
and Martina.
And Martina.
Yeah.
They saved us. They saved the entire world. They saved the entire human race.
Well, they saved us thousands of dollars.
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Well, they ask, are positive UFOs able to help us now?
I feel
don't
like this guy
know.
It's just an elaborate scheme to get to the
I
butt.
I don't know. All right, yeah. So let's hit the Devil's Triangle.
The Devil's Triangle.
Yes. Oh, and then where I put my feet, Venice has our side. The Devil's Triangle. Oh, how I love to take a rough rich raft out onto the Devil's Triangle and, oh my God, no! Come on!
Very interesting.
The Devil's Triangle, interestingly enough, sits on the exact opposite of the Earth. From
it's one of the
12
vile vortices.
It's on the exact opposite of the Earth from the Bermuda Triangle.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle is the mouth hole, and the Devil's Triangle is the poop hole.
Well, yeah. You know what? And the just Devil's Triangle. We'll make the Bermuda Triangle the butthole.
All right, we'll give it to him.
Well, the Devil's Triangle is more dangerous.
No, never mind. The Devil's Triangle has to be the butthole.
Yeah, that's what I'd call mine after yesterday.
Of course. Woo! Well, how many burritos did you eat yesterday?
No, I did. I've been eating much healthier.
Okay, good. You look good.
Yeah, you look great.
Thank you.
So the Devil's Triangle. Yes, it would make sense that it would be the butthole because it is the more violent and the more dangerous of the two.
Okay.
By far, and this is where we're seeing UFOs out the fucking cockhole.
In fact, they have been seeing UFOs there. The very first recorded actual, like, print, like, put down on paper record of a UFO.
It's incredible.
Came from the Devil's Triangle.
Okay. Which is also really interesting. This is in the year 1803, right?
1803.
Is this the year 1803?
1844.
1844.
The first one's in 1825, the next one's in 1835, and the next one's in 1844.
Putting a lot of stuff together.
There's three of them. There are three texts which show the...
And these are the...
Utsurobune.
Now, what's really interesting about this...
three documented alien sightings over the Devil's Triangle.
Just in terms of, like, they drew countless pictures of what they saw, these giant metal orbs that showed up on the beach.
And multiple people saw them.
But this also came during a time period when Japan was completely closed off to the rest of the world. Like, they were doing an isolationist period, so they have no stories coming from the outside. They were not influenced by anybody when they saw these gigantic metal orbs. We can kind of start with the idea that the Devil's Triangle, the one thing about it is that the bottom is heavily volcanically active.
Yeah.
Like they are, so the fart gas theory comes really heavily into play.
And you're right. Now it's not near Mexico, so your bean theory is a bit defunct.
Well, no, they're having rice. And so, I guess I've never heard of a Japanese farting.
No, they don't. They don't.
Oh, we know fart.
Yeah, fish don't fart.
Terrible wind. Terrible wind come. Oh, kamikaze. Oh, I did a kamikaze too hard. And I got super beefy.
You did a kamikaze too hard.
Can you imagine getting a shit streak in your samurai costume?
You can't. I mean, that's the thing. I honestly.
It's a time I had it got it.
I do not believe the Japanese fart. I do. I can see that theory.
But there are several stories that even predate that story, that it was like when the Mongolians were attempting to take over Japan for years and years and years. It was like the Emperor of Mongolia was obsessed with taking Japan. He wanted it real bad.
And they
but
fart.
Several times that he went through, they're gigantic. You're talking about armadas were destroyed by weather in the Devil's Triangle or the Dragon's Triangle, and a part of that came to believe that the Japanese came to believe that there was a dragon living in the bottom of this part of the ocean that was protecting them. And then also, if you fuck with it too much by going around it, you will get snapped up in his claws.
Yes, indeed. Any sort of crystal-like pyramid situations going down in the Devil's Triangle, or is that...
The Japanese pretty much just say it's a dragon.
It's just a dragon. So there's they just kinda, a large dragon.
They began and ended with dragon.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, when you start off at the right answer,
well,
you don't go to
Well, just when you
Arama.
Call everything a dragon, everything you don't understand a dragon, then it all becomes a dragon.
I mean, you can't disagree with it. It's an absolute fact.
So we want to go into the Utsunobune.
Utsunobune. Yes. It refers to an unknown object which allegedly washed ashore in 1803.
Okay.
But the accounts...
Yes.
The accounts
good job,
came
Henry.
In, you know, later accounts are in 1825, 1835, and 1845. According to the legend, an attractive young woman arrived on a local beach aboard what they call the Hollow Ship.
Big tits. Slamming ass.
Probably not looking like that.
Woo!
That's what you want her to look like. I'm not sure if she looked like
I can one. Make her look like anything I want in my brain.
Okay, just take a time out.
Fisherman. Choose any one of you girls.
No, no. Don't say that to the audience there. You're creeping them out a little
bit. That's either creeping them out or encouraging them. Both are bad.
Both are bad.
I better take this samurai diaper off.
Yeah. It's getting full of streaks and toots.
Fishermen brought the woman inland to investigate further, but the woman was unable to communicate in Japanese, to which the fishermen returned her and her vessel to the sea, where it drifted away.
Well, you keep her. I mean, that's your lady now.
I don't know if they were more respectful.
Yeah, but I mean, just because she can't speak Japanese or whatever, I don't know what they call it.
She looked Japanese, but she couldn't speak Japanese. And the boat in which she showed up in was very mysterious looking. If you look at the different
illustrations... It was a giant metal sphere.
It's a giant metal sphere. If you look at the illustrations, then they are classic UFO design.
Right.
One question that I have after reading this, or after watching this, is I bet you could answer this for me, Henry. Why has UFO technology not progressed all that much?
Well, it's
top-notch.
You're maybe looking at the fact that to them there's no such thing as time. Mm. So what you're looking at is a bunch of different... This is kind of like a weird
theory.
Well,
you broke them.
But they could all come from the same time period in their world to us, and our time periods are varying wildly.
Ah. Right.
So it's like we could be looking at the same crew with like 40 ships.
All right, because
like if you want to give that theory.
Because the one that you see in 1803 is also one that you see in 1976.
Like it could also be a part of their. It could also be a part of the aliens' intention to show us the same symbols over and over again, so we recognize who they are.
It's possible that they just don't have that many spacecrafts as well, right? They could be pulling a stunt much like the Russians did during the Cold War, where they just flew the same four planes,
or they could
over
live
the parade
for
over
millions
and, over
and millions of years,
right?
It could be. And
they might have a small fleet.
You know, they built things to last back in those days.
Yeah.
That's right. Back in the future, back in 3999. I remember that. Totally. So the Devil's Triangle versus the Bermuda Triangle. Let's go death count, total missing persons. Which one of these triangles is the overall dominator of human souls?
Well, the thing about the Dragon's Triangle, Devil's Sea, is that they have swallowed up gigantic like military boats. Mm-hmm. Like they have the thing called the Kaoru Moru, number 5.
Moru number 5.
No, let's not move that on. No, Lubega. No. That is a dated reference. Nobody
a little
understands
bit of Monica making rice.
The high school kids that listen to this show are just like, what are these 30-year-olds talking about? If you want to know, Google Lubega, Mambo number 5, if you want to live our hell growth.
But they say that they went to go investigate a series. It's a gigantic fleet of rescue boats went to go, again, research, like go look for the reason why a bunch of boats were going missing in the Devil's Triangle, and then they disappeared.
Yeah, and in 2 years, from 1952 to 1954, the Japanese lost 5 military vessels.
Wow.
And the crews that were lost totaled over 700 people.
It's and half
then
military.
They sent out a whole nother boat with 100 scientists on it, and that fucking disappeared too.
And all the test tubes were gone.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, it's Japan. They're like 40% scientists.
Yeah, that's true. They're all scientists. That's what they're gonna win.
But what makes that place different than the Bermuda Triangle is the number of UFO sightings that are seen, of UFOs coming out from the ocean. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, there were so many that the Russian government put together a fact fighting team to go and research the UFO problem, and that they sent a barge that was buzzed by UFOs for like a week.
So as far as portals go, you would say the Devil's Triangle is a more active portal for the aliens.
Because there are a lot of people who talk about how, like, that kind of volcanic activity, like those volcanoes could be vents to another dimension if you want to get groovy like that.
Yeah.
Right. And we do.
And some people say that the time vortices are complete accidents of nature, and that we never know when we're going to fly into one of them. Some say that the wormholes are gigafractions of a square inch. So
gigafractions of a square inch.
So tiny.
Very tiny.
Oh, as tiny as a beautiful woman's feet.
Some people call them.
Well, you gotta stop binding them. It's a rude practice.
Space windows.
Space
windows. Sure.
Yes.
I like that.
And other, you know, and these wormholes could also be, some people say that these are interdimensional travel stations for aliens to travel towards us from other
dimensions.
From other dimensions.
Travel stations.
And from other, like, kind of a, yeah, just a portal. Like
well, according to the Pleiadians, the Earth was specifically put here is because we're at a center of a bunch of different, like a nexus of wormhole highways that people can get here, and that we're some kind of gigantic archaeological, like, zoo, some kind of, like, weird zoo of, you know, species and plants. And
I definitely
I bet the reptilians don't do podcasts.
No, they don't.
That's what we're here for.
That's right.
That's why the human race is worth saving.
It's a great zoo. I mean, as far as the Earth goes, you can't argue it's not a great zoo.
Independent, non-financial podcast.
That's right. That's right. We don't want money.
Yeah, we do.
Well, you know, you can give us some.
if you want to. If the Pleiadians really want to help, they'd send a check.
All right. Well, let's not request the Palladians to give us money. They're saving us from the reptilian overlords and the overall assassination from a series of greys. So thank
it comes
you, Palladians.
Down to, you know what I think the big thing about Bermuda Triangle and the Devil's Sea is stop taking fucking boats.
That's what you gathered from the episode. But planes don't seem to do
much
better.
I don't know. Go around it. You can't use them.
You can't take the big cargoes.
All right. Let's just wrap it up.
What is even big cargoes anymore? What are we taking? Like Beanie Babies?
Cars.
Beanie Babies?
Cars. Don't we make them where we get them? Don't they make them at the store where you go buy them?
Do we have nap time music for Henry?
Do we have that other song that I sent?
I have to find it right quick.
Yeah, give that. Well, this has been a very fascinating episode.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, there's tons of stuff.
I feel like what you don't know is we took a week off because Ben was very sick.
I was very sick. My voice is back now. I feel strong.
So always kind of feel like a little like we have to get back into it.
Oh, it was wonderful. No, we learned a lot about the Devil's Triangle and, of course, the Bermuda Triangle. And if you guys have any theories of your own, of course, please email Cave Comedy Radio.
Send it and I'll fly the keys.
You know,
I also ask Jackie's boyfriend, Doug's father, who was stationed in Guam, to ask
him. He was a Navy man.
Yes. And he asked a bunch of questions about the Devil's Triangle while he was out there, and basically he said that it was everyone just doesn't go.
Yeah,
like,
well,
don't go.
Sense.
The government has put a specific blockade on that area.
Right.
That's what's really interesting, too, is that they say don't go, but a lot of it's got to do with the fact that there's a tremendous amount of volcanic activity on the seafloor.
Definitely. And of course, we mentioned the Palladians quite a bit in this episode, and I believe the next episode, we've never fully committed an entire episode to our saviors,
the
Palladians.
Well, the big thing
is, it's
more like the Palladians may have a whole different side of the story that we may not have been too aware of as yet.
Yeah, so we're going to crack, get into that case. On the next episode, and Marcus is unable to find the song. But that's
Who sang the song?
Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow. I was searching for Neil Diamond.
Oh, how do you confuse the two? That's ridiculous. So we'll have Barry Manilow take us out. Hail Satan, everybody.
Hail Satan. Don't go to Bermuda unless you want to relax.
And definitely do not go to the Devil's Triangle. It's full of dragons. And
now, this is a song that really captures what the Bermuda Triangle is all about. Magustalations. Hail me!
Hail Gein.
Hail yourselves, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. This is a nice song. I can see you throwing a beach ball up in the air, kicking around some sand.
Kick it, Barry!
We decide to get away, have some fun.
You see a green fog.
We're heading into white water. I can't see land.
Good music. This is the best.
Yeah, this is.
Triangle.
Why isn't this the closing song for every television show's credits? Whoa!
We're coming for you, Bermuda! Barry's coming for you!